The Lord be with you. Well, these are certainly confusing, difficult times, aren't they, hunkered down? And they have got me to thinking a lot about the story of the little boy who opens the door to a room and it's filled with manure. And the little guy excitedly says, "There's got to be a pony in here somewhere." Well, I've been wondering about the pony in the manure of these days of being hunkered down, wondering what God might have for us. I know some of you are experiencing some real loneliness and isolation. Some of you have been laid off jobs. You're wondering how you're going to pay the bills. Some of you are homeschooling, trying to juggle being your child's teacher while working online, reporting to your boss. I want to look at a story about David, as he too is facing uncertainty, separation, and fear. Just a couple verses tell the story. It's 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 3. And our story begins as David has narrowly escaped the clutches of the Philistines, and we find David once again, he's on the run. I read, "David left there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. Everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to David, and he became captain over them. Those who were with him numbered about 400. David went from there to Mizpah of Moab. He said to the king of Moab, 'Please let my father and mother come to you until I know what God will do for me.'" See if you can, in your mind's eye, this picture. As David is fleeing and he comes to that no man's land between Judah and the Philistines, it's about 15 miles southwest of Bethlehem, where there are many large natural caves in the limestone hills. And we find David in the cave of Adullam. And our text says that everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to David. I mean, if David doesn't have enough trouble on his own hands, he's joined by everyone in distress, in debt, discontented. That could be a pretty toxic bunch. And it says that David becomes their captain. But these men go on to become David's mighty men in 1 Samuel 23, so you never know what might happen with God. But David's thoughts are not just about himself, but David's parents are vulnerable and compromised and by the threats of King Saul, so that being a good son, David takes father and mother and he slips across the border with them into Moab. Why Moab? Well, remember, David's great-grandmother was Ruth, who was from Moab. And our text reads, "David said to the king of Moab, 'Please let my father and mother come to you until I know what God will do for me.'" I love that last phrase, "until I know what God will do for me." That's the heart of David. That sets David apart. And I think one of the reasons why Scripture says David is a man after God's own heart is that David has this attitude of expectancy that whatever his situation, David believes that God is up to something. David knows that in the midst of his troubles, God is at work. David knows that God loves him. He knows that God has plans and purposes for him, and that God is intimately involved in the details of our lives. I know they say that the devil is in the details, but no, it's God who is in the details. God is in the details, working all things together for our good. Remember what Joseph said to his brothers who sold him into the slavery of Egypt? It's there, Genesis 50, verse 20. Joseph says to his brothers, "What you intended for evil against me, God intended for good." And David knows that in all the evil that is intended against him, God is intending it for his good. And so David says to the king of Moab, he says, until I know what God will do for me. Notice here that David is not seeking his own will, but he's seeking God's will in the matter. David is not trying to force something to happen that he wants to happen, but David is waiting on God. And that's why David repeatedly in the psalm says, wait for the Lord, wait patiently for him. God is at work. Once when Winston Churchill was going through an especially difficult time, he said to his wife, I am told this is a blessing in disguise. If it is, it's very completely disguised. Well, I've lived long enough to say that life does often present us blessings completely disguised as disasters. So we wait expectantly for what God will do. Notice what David does as he's hunkered down. First, David serves God right where he is at the cave of Adullam. David blooms right where he's planted. David cares for what is at hand. He cares for his family. He cares for the men who are in distress and debt, discontent. David is not passive or paralyzed by his situation. And then second, David takes up an attitude of expectantly looking for God to work for him and for the kingdom. Until I know what God will do for me. You and I today, we're living through big history. And we do not know how this is all going to turn out. But we do know God. We do know God, and we wait expectantly for what God will do for us. Take David's words in Psalm 62, verses 5 and 6. Take them as your own. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. For my expectation is from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. I join the Apostle Paul in praying for you today. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I am Tim Smith, a fellow traveler on the Pilgrim Way. Thank you for listening. Let Christ Easter in you.